Thank you, Lord Jesus, this morning for this opportunity to get together with other believers and to come into your presence, O God, and to hear your voice and to know your ways, O Lord. I ask you, O Father, to open up your word to us today. Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would release your Holy Spirit in a mighty way in our hearts and in our midst here today. Father, help us, O God, to be aware of your presence here in this place. Give us an awareness, Lord. Open up our eyes that we may see your majesty, your glory today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Bless you all today. Welcome to the visitors. Glad you're here with us. And welcome to everyone else as well. And I just want to give a special welcome to Ben and Sadie. It's great having you guys here today. Welcome here. Takes us many years back, but it's good to have you here. God bless you all. I said several things on my heart today and trust the Lord to bring them together. You will not be distracted by comparisons if you are captivated by purpose. And more directly, if you are captivated by His purpose. And you know, these last few weeks, as I walked through life and evaluated my life, that I could see that I found myself being distracted from His purpose for me. And so it was high time for me to examine the foundations of my house. A few questions needed to ask myself, and I'm going to ask them here today. Am I hearing but not doing that which I am doing? Out of what motive am I doing it? Who or what makes me tick? Are the responses of the people in my life triggering frustration and discouragement inside of me? Why is it that I'm here? Am I struggling and distracted with what other people think, with what they have, with the way they look, the ministry that they have? Am I distracted with comparing my life with other people's lives? Jesus told a story in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' are going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." There are going to be many that say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils in your name? And have we not done many, many wonderful things, wonderful works?" But then will I say to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and goes and does them, I'm going to liken him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. The rains came down, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. But it stood because it was anchored to a rock. Whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I'm going to liken him to a foolish man who just built his house on the sand. The rains came down, the floods came, the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at His doctrine. For He taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, obedience. You know, I believe it is time for us, it is time for me to look at the foundations of our spiritual houses. Jesus said, "Hear my commandments and do them." You know, the people in the preceding verses were doing something. In fact, they were doing good things. They were doing spiritual things. We would have said those people were very, very spiritual. They were in tune with God. It's probably what I would have said. But there was an issue. They were not doing what He was telling them to do. They were not doing what He was saying. Jesus called it doing the will of His Father. And so, my observation from this little story, one of my observations is that we can be busy casting out demons, we can be busy healing people, we can be busy teaching the Word and prophesying, we can be busy giving money, giving to the kingdom, but the real question is, do I know the Father's will? Do you know the Father's will? What is the Father's purpose for your life? And are you living in obedience to it? We hear and then do. I want to take you to a couple of verses now back into the book of Colossians. Over the past year, year and a half, I've been pulling different messages out of Colossians, and I'm not going to go over a lot of verses here, but as I examine the foundations of my house and of my life, there's two verses here that really stuck out to me. Paul here, as he's talking, writing to the Colossians, there's two verses here in chapter 3 that pretty much say the same thing. And I just want to look at them here for a few minutes. Paul says in Colossians 3, I'll start at verse 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Now here's the verse. "Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." And then we move on, and Paul talks about our relationships, but I want to go to verse 23. He basically repeats it again. "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." Whatsoever you do, whatsoever I do. You know, in our Christian lives, it's so easy to put things in boxes or in different rooms. But here Paul's saying, whatever you do, whether they be spiritual activities, whether you're at work, wherever you are, your free time, whatever you do, and whatsoever you say. Whatsoever you say, whatever you say. I was thinking about that. The words I speak. Brother Robert talked about words this morning, our tongues this morning. And I'll just build on that here a little bit. When you talk, is there a purpose? You know, every word you and I say has the potential, It is possible for every word we say to bring life and light to someone. Think about it. Do you think that's possible? Paul says here, do it all in the name of Jesus. So I was thinking about that. Every word we say, does that mean that every word we say needs to be a positive word? What about pain and hurt? How can that bring life? I was just thinking about that. When I unload maybe hurt that's in my heart or pain or something that just has offended me, am I careful to unload that into a life-giving atmosphere? Into a light-filled atmosphere? In the name of Jesus, are all my words life-giving or light-bearing? You know, brothers and sisters, when we speak, when I speak to you, maybe just in what we would call normal day-to-day conversation, our words are not just disappearing into thin air. All the hosts of heaven hear them. All of our words. They are accumulated into the database of heaven. Matthew 12, Jesus said, every idle or inactive word that men shall speak, they shall give an account for it in the judgment day. And here Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you say, whatever you do, do it all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. What was interesting to me is that the people there in Matthew chapter 7 told Jesus, we did these things in your name. We prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. What was the problem? So they obeyed. Hear what Paul said. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, or at least do those things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Obviously, according to Jesus' words, they did not do the Father's will. That was the bottom line. They did not do the Father's will. First, we must hear. Then we must do what we hear and do it in the name of Jesus. It is very, very important that we hear the will of the Father, not just go out and try and do good things. Paul says to do it in Jesus' name. What other name is there? What other name might we do it in? The motives. What are the motives? What is the foundation of the things I do? Is it possible to do things in Jesus' name for our name? Think about it. Giving thanks to God through Jesus Christ. You know, I believe the Father is so pleased and so magnified to see His children walking, talking, doing in the name of His Son. Giving thanks to God through Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus. Let's go over to verse 23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. The heart is the seat of our intentions, the seat of purpose. Do all things, Paul says, with one intention, one purpose, the Lord, the Lord's name. And the only other option is doing it unto men. We're either doing it unto the Lord, for the Lord, because of the Lord, or we're doing it unto men. To be seen of men, for the praise of men. So what is it that I believe? What do I believe about God the Father? What do I believe about Jesus? You know, we live our lives out of those things we believe. And I want to just explore that a little bit. What is your posture before God this morning? I want to try something here. It's not like I have a lot of illustrations or anything, but I'm going to write some things. I'm going to try out the new whiteboard. All right? So, what is our different postures that we have? I just want to explain some belief systems here this morning a little bit if I can. And not everything's wrong with all these belief systems, as you'll see, but I want to get down to a point here. And so, living a life under God. This mentality or this belief system, living life under God, there's a few things that are true about this posture, or some things that are reality in this posture. A Christian who is living under God has this mentality or this belief that I must perform. I am living under divine rules to avoid calamity. And you know, many religions assume this posture in the rawest forms. In other words, I must do whatever I can to keep the gods happy. And if something bad happens in my life, it must be because the gods are unhappy with me, and therefore I got to figure something out to get things back in line. We hear that in the religions around us, but this belief has also come into Christianity in some ways. I must perform in order to get blessing. Back in 2010, Steve Johnson, who was a wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills team, lost the game or led his team to a loss when he dropped the ball in the end zone during overtime. And with that drop, they lost the game. I believe it was to the Pittsburgh Steelers. On Twitter, Johnson publicly blamed God for the loss. This is what he said on Twitter. He said, "I praise you 24/7, and this is how you treat me. You expect me to learn from this? How? I will never forget this. Never." Someone who lives under this belief will become frustrated, discouraged, disillusioned when life proves to them again and again that Almighty God will not be manipulated and will not be controlled. Another belief system. Life over God. These Christians who take this position or this posture, and please understand, we do not usually verbally say this is what we are. I'm performing so God blesses me. We don't speak these things, but we live out of this belief so many times. A life over God. These Christians believe that God's laws are good. His principles can be leveraged for a good, prosperous life here. In other words, we basically slip into the driver's seat of our lives. Oftentimes, this belief drives Christians to study the Word of God, which is a good thing. But hear me out. We say the Scriptures are an instruction manual for our lives. And that is also true. But many times, in this posture, this belief, Many times the scriptures become more about principles and rules for life than a vehicle to knowing God and strengthening our communion with Him. Jesus talked to some of those people, the Jews there in John chapter 5. He said, "You search the scriptures, you know the scriptures. You know the scriptures. You know the rules, but you've missed the Messiah. You know the scriptures, but you've missed the Savior." Life over God. Another posture from God. Sky Jathani says that this posture is like a divine vending machine. Consumer Christianity. Every good gift is from God. He loves to give us good things. This is all truth. It's right out of the Word of God. He gives us all things to enjoy. But with this can come a subtle lie or belief, I'll call it, that God exists to satisfy me. God's value is determined by His usefulness to me. And you know, oftentimes this belief is appealing because it doesn't often ask us to change much. You see, it's all from God. And think about it. So much truth. These things are truth, but keep following it through with me. It's really a life centered around myself, my feelings, my experience, my happiness, my life. You know, it's this underlining belief in life that says this: when my marriage no longer satisfies me, I will end it and just try another. Or when my church community no longer meets my needs, I will leave it and try another one. When God no longer satisfies my desires, I will look for another God. Life from God. And so, we turn down a more spiritual sounding route. Life for God. And I've heard it. And I've said it myself. I want to get free of my sins so that I can serve God. I want my life to make a difference. I want to matter. So, as a church, we seek to motivate people to move from selfish Christianity to a life of service. Moving people from taking to giving. Make an impact. This belief in the church often centers around missions. And as we look at the Apostle Paul, you know, Apostle Paul was all about missions. Missions dominated his life, but they did not define it. Missions dominated Paul's life, but they did not define it. There's a big difference there. In fact, Paul says what defined his life, that I may know Him. That was the definition of Paul's life. That was the motive deep down in his heart. That was the foundation stone, that I may know Him. So what about those folks in Matthew chapter 7? Lord, we did a lot in Your name. We did so much good in Your name. This belief, brothers and sisters, basically boils down to this: a life for God. The worth of my existence here on earth is determined by the achievement of great things for the kingdom. the worth of my existence here on earth is determined by the achievement of great things for the kingdom. And you know, across the Western world especially, hundreds and hundreds of pastors, kingdom workers, are burning out every month. Anxiety, depression, medication, families falling apart. But oh, we must change the world for Jesus Christ. And so this morning, we want a house that stands. Upon what foundation are you built? I want to just read some verses out of Colossians. I'll be skipping around a little bit, but listen to these words. These words of life. I'm going to break right in here to Colossians chapter 1, where Paul says, "We give thanks unto the Father, who has made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, who is the image of God, of the invisible God, and the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminent spot. For it pleased the Father that in Jesus Christ should all the fullness of the Father dwell. Jesus, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." Paul goes on to talk about that we who were alienated and enemies to Christ or against Christ are now reconciled and brought together. Oh, beautiful words. Over in chapter 2, "As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him." In Him. Paul says, walk in Him. Be rooted in Him. Build your house in Him. Jesus Christ. I lift up Jesus Christ today. Paul says here, all things in Christ. How does he say it here? Oh, beautiful words. Farther on in chapter 3, Christ is all in all. He is the creator of all things, existed before all things. All things are created for Him. All things are held together by Him. All the fullness of God, everything of God dwells in Jesus Christ. He reconciled all things to Himself. Everything, everything is about Him. When you peel back the layers of the cosmos, at the very center you will find Jesus Christ. You will find God the Father. You will find the kingdom of God. Paul says, walk in Him, be rooted in Him, build your house in Him. You are complete in Him. Nothing else is needed. Complete. Whole. Die with Him. Be buried with Him. Raised with Him. Appear with Him. Your life hid inside of Him. Christ is all and in all. Speak everything. Do everything in His name for His sake. Period. And so, a life under God, a life over God, life from God, for God. this morning I want to present to you life with Him, life in Him, in Jesus Christ, in Him, for Him, to Him, with Him, captivated with His purpose that He has assigned to me, that He has assigned to you. To know Him first of all, yes, our lives defined by this fact, the purpose of our existence here, to know Him and then to make Him known. Every breath, brothers and sisters, every breath, every word, every deed, radiating out of that purpose. Paul says in chapter 3, when Christ, who is our life, get that, when Christ, who is our life, when Christ, who is our treasure, our purpose, our foundation, our rock, upon which our house shall stand in the wind, the floods, the rain. When Christ, who is my life, when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, we shall also appear with Him in glory. And so, He looks at us, and He says, I know you. Let's go. When Christ who shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Do you know Him this morning, and does He know you? That's the bottom line question. Are you captivated with His purpose for your life? That I may know Him, power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering. May that declaration be what defines our lives as we walk through this world. I believe it was Kevin DeYoung, I don't really know him, but he said this quote, that the will of God is really very simple. I know we talked about in Sunday school class this morning a little bit about the will of God, and there's a lot of things that encompass that, but the will of God, to put it in one sentence or two, the will of God is very simple for our lives. Be holy like Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, for the glory of God. Be holy like Jesus by the power of the Spirit, for the glory of God. In closing here this morning, I would like to just worship the Lord together as we think about Jesus Christ and lifting up Jesus Christ. In Him we move and have our being. By Him all things consist. We are complete in Him this morning, brothers and sisters. Let us worship Him. Let us praise Him. Let us give Him glory. So I'd like if we could all stand together here this morning. And we're just going to spend some time in worship here for the Lord. I would like to kind of... Well, I have my purpose for this. But anyway, that's... I'd like all the youth, all the young people, and that includes anybody 13 and up, just all you youth, just come up here and just stand here in the front and face the congregation, and we're just going to sing together. Come on up, guys. Don't be shy. Young people, just line the steps here on the floor, wherever, and we're just going to worship the Lord together. Man of sorrows, what a name for a son of God who came ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior, bearing shame. Yeah. life is within us. We want to abide in Jesus Christ, and you abide in us, and we abide in you. We know, Lord, that your word, that you tell us, that when that is the case, we will bring forth much fruit. And Lord, as we, whatever we say, whatever we do in these days, Lord, may our hearts be pure and our intentions and our motives, Lord. And Father, we want to do everything for your glory, for your name, for your purposes, O God. Lord, as we walk with you and in you, Lord, it's so beautiful. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing another song here about the foundation. Jesus Christ, 322, how firm a foundation. Ye saints of the Lord, this foundation is laid for you in His excellent word through Jesus Christ. How firm a foundation, ye saints
of the Lord.
Up our voices in praise to the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, for your great salvation. We bless your name this morning. Hallelujah. We give you glory. We give you honor, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You are holy. You are the anointed one. You are the Redeemer. You are our Ebenezer, God, with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So great is your salvation, O God. Like that one song said, there is a baby, all the fullness of God in a helpless babe. It's a miracle, Lord. We really don't understand it. We don't comprehend it, Father. But I thank you today that you are, Lord Jesus, you are Ebenezer, you are Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Want to sing just one more together. Those of you that have books, young people, just sing as much as you can here. But 870, Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I don't know what the Spirit of God has spoke to you this morning. Maybe you're in one of those other postures other than with Christ, in Him. But the Spirit of God can change our belief this morning, can change how we think, change how we view our God. And so if you need to do business with God, you can do it right where you're at or find somebody to pray with. But let's just sing this together. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want you forever to live in my soul. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast down every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, look down from thy throne in the sky and help me to who seek you shall find you. Those who seek after you, Lord, you have never said no to. That's precious. And so, God, again today, we patiently wait. We ask you to cleanse us, wash us, transform us to be holy like the Lord Jesus Christ. Make us today more into your image, Father. Into your likeness, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You can go sit down. Thank you.
Do you know him? Are you hearing his will for your life and doing it? Do you know the Father's will for your life? Have you heard the Father's will? Do you perform to get God's blessing? Did Jesus perform to get God's blessing and approval? Remember that voice that came from heaven after his baptism? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Was that before his earthly ministry or after? He had a position that enabled him for his earthly ministry, didn't he? Do you think we will get God's approval any other way than Jesus did? What did he say? He didn't come to do his own will, but the will of the Father. wonder what's happening in your heart this morning. It is possible to know that you know. And if you don't, I invite you to seek God with all your heart. Those who search for me with all their heart shall be found. It says there in Jeremiah 29, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. All your heart. It's possible. It's not going to be easy, but it's possible. And you'll know when you find. You'll know. So, is there someone here that would like to share something from your heart? Is God speaking something to your heart? Maybe a word from God that you would feel God would have the rest of us to hear? Just mind the Lord. You can raise your hand and the ushers can get a microphone to you. Yes, up here in the middle, toward the front.
I'm thinking of that scripture that says, of him and through him and to him. That of him indicates that the life force originates by something that he has done. And then I also think of the scripture that says, when Jesus is crying out at that last day of the feast and he says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. As the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Mm-hmm. Thus spake he of the Spirit, which was not yet given. Mm-hmm. It was spoken and raised up before Pentecost, and it came. And I believe the position in him is a place where the flow of that anointing can come forward. And I just so much want to, I'm not going to have many opportunities to give words of edification and blessing to the congregation here, but I'd like to do that a little this morning. I just want to say how much I appreciated last Sunday's Sunday school lesson and this Sunday's Sunday school lesson, excuse me. It was breathing and just flowing out with life. It was the in him experience. It was emitting something that fills the soul, that gives you something to go home with, that nourishes you and gives you, you know, life. And those of us that don't have the privilege to come here every Sunday morning, and, you know, maybe every 2 years we come back, you know, what happened this morning is one of the most beautiful gifts that you could ever give to us. The most beautiful gift is to see that there is a flow from within. There's the exalting and lifting up of the name of Jesus. And there's overflow. And there's not something that's downhearted and passive and lethargic and indifferent. But there's something that is bursting with life.
Hallelujah.
That has the ability to inspire and give that sense of, mm-hmm. of energy and recharge. So I just want to thank everyone this morning, and especially in the singing and the sharing here, that this is life to me. You know, maybe 2 weeks or so, we're 25,000 miles away in a lonely island somewhere, not many believers. And to remember the exuberance and the blessing and the flow that God gave in this place. Do that for your brothers and sisters every week.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you so much. Some people ask Jesus, what is the work of God? What should we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus gave him a work to do. That you believe on him whom he hath sent. Now, if you think that's just an easy thing, think again. There's some work to do to get myself out of the way and through all the hurdles and lies that I've believed about myself and who God is, to get to that place of believing him and receiving him. And then those waters, that rivers, those rivers of living water have the possibility of flowing. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.